We were just talking music and concerts and stuff with Jim, and I would like to continue that music, live music concert talk kind of thing. And we would love to hear from you. Who are the best live acts that that you've ever seen? Best concerts you've ever gone to? And according to Ranker, I have the greatest live bands of all time. And also Rolling Stone did a list with a bunch of commentary about who they feel are the best live performers of all time. Now, Dan, as you know, every time you talk about best live, you know, musicians, Springsteen is always like the first one that pops in.
Surely.
And I've never seen Bruce Springsteen. Have you ever seen Bruce Springsteen?
I have not.
Esmeralda, you know, are you a fan of Bruce Springsteen?
He's all right.
Yeah.
I haven't seen him live.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of Bruce Springsteen. And people are like, it's because you've never seen him live. And I'm like, well, if he's going to play his music, I'm not going to enjoy it. Because I'm not a really... If he plays somebody else's music, I might enjoy it. But I'm just not a fan of Bruce Springsteen. And I know that's sacrilegious. But everybody's like, well, it's because you've never seen him. Once you see him live, you're going to be converted. And I'm like... Are the songs the same? Is he playing his catalog?
And it's kind of funny that you mention that too, because one of the things that with his live shows is that he's notorious for playing cover requests.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I know the guy works hard. He still does. I mean, he's on Broadway right now, or maybe that closed. You know, he had a show on Broadway. Did you know that, Dan?
No.
Yeah, Bruce Springsteen on Broadway, and it was like you couldn't get a ticket. I don't know if it's still running. I know it was running recently. It was like the hottest ticket on Broadway. And it was like him telling stories and playing some music. And, everybody who went to New York went to see it. I have a friend who went and said it was magnificent. Well, of course, this guy is a huge Springsteen fan.
Looks like it's going now.
Oh, it's still running.
Yeah.
Wow. He could run that thing forever. You know what I mean? So, I bet a lot of people coming in from Jersey to see Springsteen on Broadway. But yeah, I mean, to be fair, I've never seen him. You know, but I mean, I know that he goes out there, he works hard, and it's never, I mean, I think his shows are always like 3 hours. You know? And they're very, very loose, and you know, obviously he's been playing with these musicians for a very long time, and so... You know, they all work together really great. And everybody I know who has seen Bruce Springsteen, obviously they're fans of Bruce, but you're not going to go see Bruce Springsteen if you don't like him. But everybody I know who's seen Bruce Springsteen just raves about him. And, of course, he's at the top of the list on the Rolling Stone greatest live acts. And, he's always consistently at the top or near the top whenever anybody talks about live musician performances. So what do you guys think? 312-981-7200. What were some of the best concerts you've ever seen? Who do you think are some of the best live musicians? And we could talk a little bit about some of your favorite concerts and memories and things like that. Like we were talking with Jim and, me telling Jim about how my friend busted through three chairs at a Hooters Bryan Adams show. So 312-981-7200 for talk and text. Esmeralda, you have a favorite concert that you've seen?
I'd probably have to say The Who. I've seen him a couple times already.
Mm-hmm.
Jimmy Page and the Black Crowes.
Oh, yeah.
Sticks out for me as
Yeah. Yeah. So The Who, you've never seen Keith Moon because he died, I think, before you were born. But was Entwistle in the band at all, or did he pass away?
Yeah, he was there the first time I saw him, and the second time it had been just after he had passed.
Well, it's nice that you got to see Entwistle, though. You know what I mean? Because he was one of the best bass players that's ever walked the planet. So, you heard that Roger Daltrey's coming to play Tommy at Ravinia.
I saw that, yeah.
Yeah, so that could be fun. All right. Dan, what about you? You got a favorite...
Kind of the combination of good music and the spectacle. I've seen the Flaming Lips a few times.
Oh, yeah.
And that's always quite a show that they put on, and yeah. A lot of craziness and costumes and inflatable balls.
Yeah, it's got Wayne Coyne walking around on top of the crowd in a giant ball.
Right. So, the confetti's going off just... during the songs and the big epic endings. It's really well done.
Big camera on the mic too, so you get to see his face.
Right.
I saw him twice. I saw him both times at the Metro before they got really, really huge. It was right when my favorite of their albums. I can't believe I'm blanking. It's from 2000 or 2001. It's their best album.
The 2000 Soft Bulletin.
That's it, Soft Bulletin. That's the best album ever. I love that album, man. I love that album. I saw him on that tour, and it was at the Metro, and it was pretty great. You know what was really cool, though, I will say, Dan? They had two opening acts that night before the Lips came on, and Wayne Coyne sat on the side of the stage on a chair and watched the bands.
That is very cool.
That's not, you don't do that. You're a headliner, you don't even know who's opening most of the time. They don't care. They're not out there. He was cheering them on. He was sitting on the side. And I just thought that was really cool. I was like, there's a headlining guy who's in a really big band, and he's supporting the two bands that are opening for him. And, you know, that's really great. So that endeared, you know, that endeared, you know, Wayne Coyne to me big time, you know, just because you just don't see that. That's just not something you see. And he's a genuine dude. There's no question about it. I mean, I like that guy. Like when he sang, have you seen him at the, ever seen him at the Metro?
Was it at the Metro? No, not at the Metro.
He did, they covered Somewhere Over the Rainbow, which I think they've done a few times. And he cried. It wasn't fake. Like, he cried because he loves, it's a beautiful song, and he's singing it, and he started crying. And I was like, okay, I like this guy a lot. He just sat through two sets of opening acts, cheering him on, and they're kicking ass. You know, the Flaming Lips come out, and they do a great job. And then he sings Somewhere Over the Rainbow and starts crying. I was like, so yeah, they're great live. That's a great live band. No question about it. So, all right, what do you guys think? 312-981-7200. Here is Justin on WGN. Hi, Justin.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
So, really good concert that I went to. It was in Indianapolis, but Incubus.
Incubus.
Yeah, I saw them at a small venue that's called White River Park. And, yeah, they were really good. Oh. A really good light show. And I wasn't a big fan, but once I saw them, they turned me, and it was really cool.
Yeah. Yeah, that's cool. Okay, Incubus. I've never seen them. That's good to know. All right, yeah. Justin, thanks, buddy.
Yep.
Take care. You know, sometimes it's also the venue where you see them, because seeing the Lips at the Metro was cool. You know what I mean? That's a, you know, and they could have played a bigger place. I think they played like three nights or something at the Metro. They could have played a bigger place, but I think that's really cool. And, you know, anytime we talk about great live bands, I always mention Cheap Trick. Cheap Trick, one of the best live bands ever. And they are as good today as they were in 77. As good. Robin Zander, one of the greatest voices in rock and roll history as far as I'm concerned. And Cheap Trick, always great. And I'll never forget that when they took over the Metro for four nights straight, and they played each of their albums in chronological order leading up to Budokan. I was there all four I was there all four nights. And if you get they released a CD of that stay at the Metro. It was a 4-day stay in April of 1998. We had just opened Vinyl Shop. And so, like, the entire cast and crew, we all went one night. I went all four nights, but the entire cast and crew all went one night. We all were up there rocking out, because Cheap Trick is mentioned. You can't. I'm not going to write a play about music and not mention Cheap Trick in it. So anyway, it was an incredible four nights. I mean, just incredible. And a lot of celebrities showed up. Billy Corgan came out and played with them on the closing night. On the last night, he came out and played with them. And it was phenomenal. And that was one of the best four nights in a row that I've gone. I didn't go to a lot of concerts four nights in a row. It's not something I do, but I make that exception for Cheap Trick. And it was a real special thing. And so they released a live album called, Music for Hangovers, which was documenting that four-night stay at the Metro. And if you open up the CD, well, nobody has CDs anymore. But anyway, the booklet that comes with the CD, if you open it up, there's a shot from the stage, from behind the band, a shot of the house, so you can see and you can see me.
That's awesome.
I'm like right up. I'm wearing my Schlitz shirt, and you can see the little Schlitz logos all over the shirt, and I'm literally doing the devil horns. Like you can see, it's just I'm doing the jam horns. And I'm right next to the spotlight, because I was right next to the spotlight guy. And then I spotted it right away. As soon as I opened it up, I'm like, oh, my God, that's me. And that was from night number one. That was night number one when we were upstairs. We were downstairs for two nights and upstairs for two nights. So, but Cheap Trick, if you've never seen Cheap Trick, I highly, highly recommend it. I mean, they're unbelievable. And they're so good live. And that's what we're talking about. We're talking about bands and artists that really bring it live. 312-981-7200. Who are some of your favorite live bands? And we'll check out more of these greatest live bands of all time from Ranker and the greatest live acts from Rolling Stone as well. 312-981-7200. It's Two for Tuesday. Yeah, man, Two for Tuesday. And 773 area code requesting the Pat Metheny Group. The Girls Next Door. Pat Metheny's got some hair. Dan, are there visuals of Pat Metheny? What's your plan there?
I've seen a couple in the videos that when I was pulling it up. Yeah,
he's got some hair.
Indeed.
312-981-7200 is the phone number, and Two for Tuesday, one artist, two songs. Get him in. And speaking of music, we are talking about music. And what were the best concerts that you've ever been to? And who is consistently great live that like just bring it? And so we have some lists here. Ranker has the greatest live bands of all time, and Rolling Stone has the 50 greatest live acts right now. And on the top of Rolling Stone's list is Bruce Springsteen, which as we mentioned before, people love to see Bruce Springsteen live, and fans of his completely rave about it, and he does put it all out there. He puts on 3-hour shows, lots of sweat, working hard for the audience. You got to admire that. Number two on the Rolling Stone list is Prince, and Prince was phenomenal live. Dan, you ever see Prince?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, first time I saw him was on the Purple Rain tour, so it was in '84. And then I saw him a second time on that tour. He came back, so I saw him twice on that tour, and then like 3 or 4 more times after that. It was incredible. I mean, just incredible to watch. And, obviously, everybody has seen Prince perform, but to see him live. Esmeralda, have you ever seen Prince?
No, didn't.
He was so good. He was just amazing. Lots of energy. Obviously, the guy can sing, he can dance, the guy could play guitar like nobody's business, and it was great. And it was really kind of special to see that Purple Rain tour was really, that's where he really, really started to take off, and that was a spectacular show. And the Revolution is a great band, and so yeah, Prince deserves to be way, way, way near the top of the list of great live artists for sure. 312-981-7200. We got some calls coming in. Here's Bob on WGN. Hi, Bob.
How you doing, Nick?
All right.
I'm on my way to work right now.
Okay.
I work out in Rockford, Illinois.
Mm-hmm.
And
speaking of Cheap Trick. Speaking of Cheap Trick.
Yeah. Cheap Trick. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. My favorite concert was Led Zeppelin at the Chicago Stadium.
Yeah.
In 1977.
See, I saw him twice. Saw Zeppelin twice. I saw him in 75. You must have went on the good night in 1977, because I saw him in 77 and they were terrible. Like, everybody was, Page was so drunk, he was doing that. He did the show from a folding chair because he couldn't stand.
Oh, I don't remember if he was sitting down. I know that he was playing inside of that. They had a laser.
Yeah.
Laser guitar on the stage.
Yeah.
And we were sitting, I don't know, probably about the blue line on the hockey rink.
Sure.
right outside of the wall, like, and we only paid $22 for our tickets.
Yeah, well, you know, face value for those tickets. If I remember, in 75, it was $650.
Yeah.
And in 77, it was $850. It was $850 to see Zeppelin. That's what you paid. So crazy, man. Yeah.
Yeah, no, it was.
But the first time I saw them, I will say this: in 75, they were unbelievable. I mean, they were incredible. But yeah, that we were we went to, I can't remember, so they played three nights at the stadium in 77, and I think we went to show number two, and I think after show number one they went out and got hammered all night and all day, and it showed in their performance that night. So
yeah.
All right, Bob, thanks, man.
Yeah, thank you.
Take care.
Have a good day.
Yeah, Zeppelin was, you never knew, you know there are bands out there you don't know what you're going to get, you know. And some of that I don't mind. Like if I like the Replacements, I don't care which Replacements I would get when I'd go see the Replacements, because you were going to get drunk Replacements who didn't care, or you were going to get sober, great, awesome Replacements, or drunk Replacements that kicked ass. You mostly got drunk Replacements. Those guys, man, the Paul Westerberg was a big drinker, man, and Tommy Stintz and those guys. I mean, that was. Yeah, they enjoyed beverages. They enjoyed alcoholic beverages at a maximum. But sometimes it was spectacular to see them perform, even if they're blitzed. And other times, not so good. That's a great, I mean, if you ever had the chance to see the Replacements live, man, that's a special group right there to see those guys. And, you know, they had that reunion a couple of years ago at Riot Fest. At Riot Fest, they had the reunion, and I can't do the fest. So I would have loved to have gone to see the Mets, man, because they're just amazing. They're one of my favorite bands of all time. And a real important band, you know, like in my early 20s, that was a band that was really important to me. But yeah, they were, you know, I can't go. I can't stand outside for 7 hours with drunks. I can't do that. And in 150 degrees. Well, that's October. Riot Fest is in October. Lollapalooza is the one that's in August. Is Lollapalooza, again, the same weekend as... do we know when? Have they announced when Lollapalooza is?
I don't know if they've announced. It's typically the first weekend in August.
Yeah, so it's the same weekend as Flashback. Same weekend as Flashback. Same weekend as the Mustard, the National Mustard. It's a busy weekend, man. You can go to Lollapalooza. You can go up to the Mustard Museum. You can go check a hangout with us at the Flashback weekend. Where, hey, Esmeralda, you don't like the horror movies. Have you seen Chucky, the Child's Play motion pictures?
Yeah.
Okay. Big reunion. That's the big reunion. We're going to screen Child's Play. Brad Dourif, the voice of Chucky, is going to be there. His daughter, Fiona, is going to be there. She's in like the third sequel. The creator and director, Tom Holland, is going to be there. The kid, Alex Vincent, who's now like in his 30s, I think, he's going to be there. And a lot more surprises for the big celebration of Chucky. It's the 30th anniversary. My God. Really? 30th anniversary? That just hit me right now. Child's Play celebrating the 30th anniversary. And we're going to do it up at Flashback. It's August 3rd through the 5th. All right. Okay, we got a break here. We got the news coming up, and then I want to hear from you guys, and we'll continue to talk about some of the best live musicians and live bands of all time. 312-981-7200. News is coming up. Is this his answer to Brown Eyed Girl? Because he's doing Van Morrison there. Two for Tuesday, man. Yeah, man, two for Tuesday. Dave requested Blake Shelton, Playboys of the Southwestern World. Okay. There you go. Blake Shelton, everybody. How you doing? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Showcase Studio out here on Michigan Avenue. Quiet morning, Dan. There's not a lot of crazy people running around in the streets.
Don't jinx it.
That's right. Sorry. Oh, boy. Okay, we've been talking about great live bands and concerts and great live performers. We had Jim Ryan on. Always have fun with Jim, talking about some of the concerts he's seen recently. And I wanted to bring up some of the greatest live acts of all time and some of the greatest bands that you can ever see live. And some of the best concerts you've ever gone to. We want to hear from you. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Here's Dennis on WGN. Hi, Dennis.
How you doing, Nick?
All right.
I deliver the papers every night between 2 and 5, and it's great listening to you, but I got a story about October 81.
Okay.
Rolling Stones, Jay Giles Band, George Thorogood, and the warm-up band was Prince.
Wow, 1981.
They got off the stage.
Yeah. Yeah, that's kind of a weird, you know, you got Thorogood, Jay Giles, Stones, and then Prince. And that's 81 before anybody really knew who Prince was. So that's
right.
That's interesting. Where was the venue?
That was at LA Coliseum.
Ah, in LA. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, I told my friends we should go see the Stones. They'll probably be one of their last tours.
Yeah, I know. Everybody said that too back in 1981. These guys are still touring. That was the Tattoo You tour.
And the promoter, he's a big promoter. He came out on stage after they got booed off, and he said, you people got it wrong. This band is going places. And he was right. We were wrong.
Yeah. Got it. All right, Dennis. Thanks, man.
All right. Thanks, Nick.
See ya. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Yeah, I've seen a few bands get booed off the stage, one of them being Bon Jovi. I saw Bon Jovi open for the Scorpions at the Rosemont Horizon. I was in high school. I want to say 81, 82. And they were just, get off the stage. People were just, Scorpion fans were not having Bon Jovi. They're like five songs in. They're like, yeah, that's enough. And the only hit that they had at that time was Ooh, She's a Little Runaway. Daddy's Little Girl. That song, you know that song? That was kind of their only sort of hit. So it was before, you know, Slippery When Wet. This was like 5 years, 5-6 years before Slippery When Wet came out. And they got booed off the stage. And the worst, though, example of that was UFO reunited all the original members. UFO, in my opinion, the greatest live album that's ever been released is Strangers in the Night, UFO. And it was recorded here in Chicago at the Amphitheater. And I've told this story before. I had tickets for the damn show. I couldn't go because my parents wouldn't let me because I had like 103 temperature. I didn't care if I had pneumonia, but I couldn't go. And so then this, you know, they record the show and it's like the best live album ever. And if you listen to it during Lights Out, they say lights, because in the original lyrics are lights out in London. That's the original lyric. But they said lights out Chicago. And you can hear everybody go, ah! I was like, I could have been in that. So anyway, years go by and UFO, you know, there are a lot, UFO fans are they're pretty passionate about UFO. I'm one of those people. I think UFO is one of the greatest bands of all time. And Michael Schenker is one of the greatest guitarists that's ever lived. And like I said, Strangers in the Night is a classic album. Not one weak cut on it. It's the best live album of all time. So they do two nights at the Vic. So they book two nights at the Vic. This is in the early 90s, when in 92 or 93. And they hadn't toured in, you know, like probably 10 years at that point. And so this was a big deal for UFO fans. So my friends and I went both nights. And it was Oaken. I can't believe he didn't break any. No, we were standing because there were no chairs. We were standing. There were no chairs. Otherwise, he would have busted 15 chairs during that show. So we're all, you know, all my friends go. And this is the first time that the original lineup with Schenker is all back together. And it's all dudes in their like 30s in the audience. All of us were like either late 20s or early 30s when there was just a bunch of long-haired dudes in their 30s and just waiting, but a bunch of white long-haired dudes just waiting for like 11 years to see this band back together after, you know, years ago they recorded the best live album ever in this city. And needless to say, you know, the beer was flowing. There was a lot of alcohol being consumed that night by the UFO fans, by all the dude UFO fans who are very impatient about seeing the band. And I don't even remember the name of the opening act. They come out on stage, the band comes out on stage, and they're out on stage. I'm not making this up, Esmeralda. These poor guys, they get out on stage, they're on stage for maybe 30 seconds before people start booing and chanting UFO. I just I felt terrible for the band, you know, because it, you know. But these people did not, these guys did not want to see anything but UFO that night. They just wanted to see Strangers in the Night performed live. That's all they cared about. And so UFO, UFO, you know, they're telling them to F off and they're throwing beer on stage. And then the lead singer of this band made a crucial error. He started yelling at the audience and said, "Hey man, you should give us a chance. We want to see UFO too." And that just got everybody even crazier. They got more obnoxious and they were drinking more. And so they lasted, I think they lasted, they cut out after their fourth song. It was like three songs and they barely got through those songs. And the crowd would not shut up. They were chanting UFO the entire time. I felt bad, man. I was like, come on, dudes, you know? So here's what they accomplished. Here's what these drunk, obnoxious guys screaming for UFO accomplish. They accomplish this. We have no music now for 90 minutes. Instead of a band on stage filling up that time, these guys leave. That doesn't mean UFO is going to come out early, you idiots. UFO's not going to come out early. They weren't even in the building when that happened. So now people are getting even more impatient and the drinking becomes even heavier because there's nothing on stage to entertain this group of lunatics. UFO finally comes out. The show kicked ass. It was great, but everybody was smashed. So we go the next night, okay? We go the next night. And it's essentially the same guys. It was like the same. It was like everybody who was there the first night came the second night, and it was all the same dudes, same atmosphere. Opening band comes out, they start chanting UFO again, like 30 seconds in, and they left again. So it happened both nights in a row because it was essentially a carbon copy. Each night was the same crowd, and they booed these guys. I can't remember the name of the band. But and then, you know, UFO comes out and then it's spectacular. They were great. They were unbelievable. But yeah, that was one of the more memorable times that I've been at a show where people were just like, get off the stage. Oh, man. All right. All right. We got a bunch of people on the line. Everybody hang on. 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200, and I want to hear from you. Who are the best live acts you've ever seen, best live bands that you've ever seen? And here's one. 630 area code. Bruce Springsteen's the best. I had front row seats in 1981 at the Rosemont Horizon, and it was awesome. seven 773 area code. Esmeralda. Apparently, Billy Ocean rules.
Oh.
Billy Ocean, we couldn't get him off stage. He's a singing fool. He's the best. You couldn't get him out of your dreams and into your car?
Wait a minute. Hold on a minute. Hold it. Oh!
952 area code says Garth Brooks. I've heard that. I've heard that Garth Brooks puts on, you know, a really big, you know, stadium show and does a lot of really insane stuff. I've heard. He's not my cup of tea. I prefer Chris Gaines, or what was it? Was it Chris Gaines, right? I love when he hosted Saturday Night Live. He was the host, but Chris Gaines was the musical guest. What? I'm sorry. I'm just looking up at the TV screen. They're going to make another Indiana Jones movie? What? Why? Okay, sorry. I'm just hearing about this for the first time. Apparently, they're going to make another Indiana Jones movie. Yeah, because that last one was so good. That last one with Shuli LaBeouf with all the monkeys. That was a real good movie. Nice. Can't wait. 10 years ago, that stupid movie came out. I can't believe they're making another one. Oh, boy. All right. All right, let's take a break. We got weather, we got traffic, and then we're coming back with great live performances and great live musicians. A bunch of texts coming in. Phone lines are filling up. 312-981-7200. Welcome back, everybody. How you doing? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, 2 for Tuesday. Yeah, man, 2 for Tuesday. Get your requests in. 312-981-7200. Dave requesting Blake Shelton, and that's Ole Red. So there you go. Get your requests in now. Yeah. So we're talking about great live bands, great live musical artists that that are considered the best. And we've got a couple of lists here, one from Ranker, one from Rolling Stones. We're talking about our favorite concerts as well, and we want to hear from you at 312-981-7200. Coming up after the 4:30 news will be the aggravating SNL trivia game, where I ask Esmeralda and Dan questions about SNL, and I, of course, know all the answers, and then I just get aggravated because they don't. So that's we'll get into that a little bit later on. But right now, we got a bunch of people on the line who want to share their stories with us. And here's Ray in Arlington Heights. Hi, Ray.
Nick, good morning. How
morning.
Are you?
All right.
Before I sound like I'm calling from the Field Museum of Natural History, I have seen acts from Lady Gaga, John Mayer, on back to the Dave Clark Five.
Okay.
But the most memorable, Tuesday evening, November 9th, 1971, Peoria, Illinois.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a freshman at Bradley University. Our dorm league football team had won the dorm league championship that afternoon on the worst call in the history of dorm league football.
Okay.
Jethro Tull is playing Robertson Memorial Fieldhouse that night.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Ian Anderson is 24 years old. Aqualung had come out about 8 months earlier, so they had enormous traction.
Yeah.
The concert's supposed to start at 7. We're all in our seats. They announce the band will be delayed. As it turned out, at their sound check, Anderson said, "I'm not playing both sides of this barn. Cut it in half." So they had to put up a screen on the basketball court. It was an oddly configured arena.
Yeah.
He only played to half the arena, but he was absolutely phenomenal. Again, 24 years old, physical,
yeah,
agile, acrobatic, theatrical, everything.
Yeah.
And he had the power of that album behind him.
Yeah. I never saw Tull that early. I've seen Tull, I don't know, 10, 12 times. And Ian Anderson's one of the most flamboyant, one of the best front men ever. And he's just so much fun to watch.
The only other thing I'd say, I saw them only one other time, 2010 at Ravinia, and it was so disappointing.
Mm.
Because obviously, he could still play, and the songs were all, you knew the songs forever.
Sure.
But it was watching an old man, and he knew it.
Yeah.
He could barely do, a half pirouette or anything.
Right.
But the 71 concert all these years later still resonates.
Yeah. No, that makes sense. They were a great live band. I got to see him, I want to say it was the 76 tour for Songs from the Wood. That was the first time I saw him. And somebody threw a bottle on stage. It was at the Chicago Stadium. Somebody threw a bottle on stage, and Ian Anderson stopped the song and said, "We're not going to continue until that C word is thrown out of here." And the spotlight guy put the spotlight on the guy in the balcony, and a bunch of people jumped on him and just started beating the crap out of him. And then they escort the guy out, and I mean like all of the fans just started wailing on this guy, and then they started the song up again. But I just remember that them chucking a bottle at Ian Anderson.
What was the first concert you ever saw?
Black Oak, Arkansas was headlining, and Bad Company opened before their first album came out. So nobody knew who they were, except my dad knew who Paul Rogers was because he was a fan of Free.
Circa 74?
Yeah, 75.
Very good.
Yeah, 75.
Nick, thank you.
All right, Ray, take care.
Bye.
Bye. Yeah. Jethro Tull, man. Great band. Here's Dick on WGN. Hi, Dick.
Hey, Nick, how you doing?
All right.
That's cool. I was at that show that Ian Anderson show. I saw that too also.
Where the dude threw the bottle?
Yeah. Yeah. I thought it hit the drummer in the head, but either way, yeah, I saw that too.
Yeah, they put the spotlight on the guy in the balcony. It was at the Chicago Stadium. They put the spotlight on the guy in the balcony, and a bunch of people just wailed on him.
Yeah. The whole place went silent when that bottle hit there.
Oh, yeah. Oh, boy. Yeah, it was scary, man. It was scary.
Well, anyways, the two bands they got are quite contrasting.
Yeah.
Pink Floyd. I've loved forever.
Yep.
And I got hooked into going to a Reba concert. I was dating a girl who was a country girl.
Yeah.
And we went to Racine, and we had to draw numbers, tickets for seating. And I drew number one, and I'm like, big deal. And all these people around me, "Oh, can I trade you? I'll give you extra money and all this and that." And she was really good. Full orchestra behind her.
Yeah.
cherry pickers going out over the stage in the crowd. I was really surprised. It was a really good show.
Yeah. Okay. Cool, man. That's two different, completely different kind of shows right there. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And a little side thing. There was a guy sitting next to us by himself. He had a Riva leather jacket that was obviously custom made. Really nice jacket. And he got thrown out before the show even started. And he wasn't doing anything wrong. I wonder what the behind-the-scenes deal on that was.
So they just tossed this guy and he wasn't doing anything? Wow.
Yeah, yeah. Two guys came, grabbed him by the shoulders, and walked him right out the door.
Wow.
And he was just sitting there by himself.
Wow. So, that's weird. There's got to be some story to that.
Yeah. So. Anyways, I just thought I'd give you a holler.
Thanks, buddy. I appreciate it. Have a good morning, Dick.
Thank you.
All right, bye. All right. Here is Jeff on WGN. Hi, Jeff.
Hi, Nick. How are you?
All right.
Now, I think it was 1964. James Brown, the Regal Theater,
on
the 47th and South Parkway.
Come on, man. You saw James Brown circa 64?
Yeah.
Oh, that's amazing.
Guy was unbelievable. I also saw him twice after that. The guy was unbelievable.
Yeah.
Unbelievable entertainer.
Hardest working man in show business, man. Hardest working man in show business.
Yes, he was.
Yeah. Yeah.
He was just fantastic.
Yeah.
And the other thing was the audience. My goodness. You think the place is going to fall apart?
Yeah. There are some shows that you go to, man, where the audience goes nuts. I mean, it's pretty crazy. That's a great story. Thanks, Jeff.
All right. Take care.
All right. James Brown, 1964. Boy, oh, boy. All right. Here is Tom. Oh, wait a minute. What the hell was that? I hit the wrong button.
It happens.
Okay, here's Tom on WGN. Hi, Tom.
Nick, it's an honor to speak with you.
Oh.
Yeah. 1994, Eric Clapton, Blues Tour, small clubs. I'm in St. Louis. I drove up 300 miles, stood in line for 6 hours. I sat right in front of the stage, right in front of Eric Clapton for a complete show. And it was the most intense experience. And I don't think that, even though I was right in front of him, I don't think he would have recognized me because he was just in such a zone.
Yeah. And where did he play?
At Buddy Guy's Legend.
Oh, good Lord. You saw Eric Clapton at Buddy Guy's?
Yes, it was a small tour, and he played three shows at Buddy Guy's Legends.
Wow.
And there was like only 300 people there.
That's incredible. That is incredible.
It was very, very intense. You wanted to turn him off and come back in an hour and play one more song because it was just too intense.
Hmm. Wow. Wow, that's something. That's a memory right there, Tom.
Well, also flew out to Los Angeles to see him at the House of Blues on the same tour. I got on the plane, went to the show, went back to the airport, and flew home.
There you go. All right, Tom, thanks for sharing that. Take care. There you go. 312-981-7200 is the phone number, and we got the news coming up in 10 seconds. It's 2 for Tuesday. Yeah, man, 2 for Tuesday. 218 area code, Pearl Jam, elderly woman behind the counter in a small town. That's a band I've seen a lot. I've seen many, many times. It's Pearl Jam and Dave Matthews are the two bands that I've seen the most live. And we're talking about great musical artists who perform the heck out of at concerts. And I would put Pearl Jam in that category, way high on the list of consistently kicking major butt live. I've seen them. Oh, man. It's ridiculous how many times I've seen Pearl Jam. And two summers ago, they were amazing at Wrigley Field. It was one of the best shows I've seen. So there you go, Pearl Jam. And 312-981-7200 is the phone number for Talk and Text. After 4:30, we're going to have the aggravating SNL quiz that I will give to Esmeralda and Dan. We will find out how much they know or don't know about SNL. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. You want to share your thoughts on who you think are the greatest live artists in your favorite concerts. 312-981-7200. We got a bunch of texts coming in. Phone lines are open at 312-981-7200. Let's see. 312 area code says, I had the great fortune of seeing Tina Turner in the early 80s at the First Avenue in Minneapolis. This was just before she hit it really big and was touring, doing mostly great rock and roll songs. The woman was unbelievable. Yeah, I saw Tina Turner on the Private Dancer tour, and it was great. It was great. And First Avenue was a really cool place. That's, you know, obviously that's the club Prince played all the time, and it's featured in Purple Rain. So, let's see. 630 area code. Oh, you're going to love this one, Esmeralda. Nick, I just wanted to say that as a 16-year-old, I survived one of the few concerts when Jimi Hendrix was the opening act for the Monkees.
Oh, nice.
It was July of 1967 in Miami Beach. You go back and think about that. Hendrix opened for the Monkees. That's crazy. That's how big the Monkees were, man. It's Trucker Rich. Hey, Rich.
Hey, Nick. How you doing tonight?
All right.
I know you said in the past that your first concert was Black Oak, Arkansas. What year was that that you saw them?
75.
Okay.
Yeah, it was at the auditorium.
Okay, I saw them in 73.
Mm-hmm.
Like I was telling Dan, my first wife, her and I were dating, their family was from Lepanto, Arkansas, which is about 30 miles from Black Oak, Arkansas.
Okay.
And I got drugged to a county-type fair, carnival-type deal, you know?
Yeah.
And I was pretty much the outlaw because I had the jacked-up GTO, loud pipes, you know, longer hair.
Right.
Northern license plates. When I met their family, I found out that they called me a darn Yankee. You know, only they didn't use darn.
Right, I gotcha.
And I says, well, what's this? Why am I that? And they says, well, because you're dating a Southern girl and you're a Yankee. Only the darn Yankees come down here and kick our women. But anyway, I seen Black Oak, Arkansas playing on the high school football field, and it was $1 to get in and see them.
Jeez.
You know, I mean, they were all right, but, you know, it's like, do I have to go?
Yeah.
And they're like, yes, you do.
Well, you know, Black Oak, Arkansas, for people who don't know, they had one hit, and it was Jim Dandy to the Rescue. And that was like their only hit. And for some reason, the 9-year-old and 10-year-old Nick DiGilio loved Black Oak, Arkansas.
Right.
I love it.
I can't remember. Let's see. I'm a few years older than you are, so I think I was like 16 or 17 back then, you know. So
yeah, yeah.
It was, it was quite the experience. It's, I mean, filled it out with like garage bands, you know. Like,
yeah.
I'm going, all right, I like rock and roll, and I do like some country, but, you know, can I get out of here?
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
We like this, and you drove.
All right, Rich, thanks for the call, buddy.
Yep, have a good evening.
All right, man. You too. We like this, and you drove. They didn't have Ubers back then. He just couldn't take off. Here's Scott on WGN. Hey, Scott.
Nick, I know you're going to make fun of me because his best work was in the 70s, but I've seen, and it doesn't compare to Mr. Toronto, but I've seen Elton John 45 times.
Wow. Wow.
In 10 different states. Twice I got to sit in the front row. 3 times I was in the second row.
Yeah, wow. But the thing is, though, like Scott, his set list consists of all of his classics, right?
Yeah, pretty much. He'll throw in a new song or a deep cut every once in a while.
Yeah. That's the same, you know, that's...
I can't stand. You know, it's like, oh, my Lord.
I'd say, but,
his
you know,
last that... four, his last four releases, they all sound the same. It's the guy with the deep voice, and he's singing songs that I don't really care about anymore.
Yeah. Well, it's appropriate that he and Billy Joel have toured together because it's the same kind of thing. You got a guy like
I've seen them together 5 times.
Yeah, and they're, you know, like I saw Billy Joel and I was really not excited about it because, again, I think Billy Joel's way past his prime in terms of great music, but he played all the stuff from the 70s and the early 80s, like all of that stuff.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you know, he knows his audience and that's great. That's great music. So, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yep. Okay,
I'm having difficulty wondering if I should go see this farewell tour.
Well,
I guess I should say farewell.
Yeah,
I don't know.
You're going to have to go. You can't miss it, Scott. You can't miss it. If you've seen him 45 times, you got to go see him one last time.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
Okay, Scott, thanks for
the call,
buddy.
Encouragement.
Okay, take care. Do we know how many times Jim has seen Elton John, is there, has he, I mean, I'm sure he's got to have kept track, right?
Yeah, you know, let me see if I can pull up his Facebook post, because he does list the number every time he goes.
That's insane. And he's another one who travels all over the place to see Elton John, right?
He does, yes.
Yeah. Okay. He follows Elton John around. Okay. Don said, I saw Duran Duran at Ravinia a couple of years ago, and it was awesome. Yeah, Duran Duran puts on a good show. Has Brother, you ever see Duran Duran?
I haven't, no.
Oh, they're really good live. Sean says, in Indianapolis, Zac Brown Band was fantastic. I've seen them 25 times. It's like an Allman Brothers show. Wrigley was great. They're playing Wrigley this summer, aren't they? Zac Brown? Are they playing Wrigley? I think they are. I know that Def Leppard and Journey are playing Wrigley. Yeah, man. Yeah. Um, 708 area code says, I'm going old school with this one. Triumph. Yeah, man. Hey, Dan, you know where Triumph is from?
Canada.
They are Canadian, yes. Like the Irish Rovers. They're as Canadian as the Irish Rovers. 309 area code said, agreed on Incubus, and the Foo Fighters put on a great, Foo Fighters do put on a great show. They do, they do. I haven't seen them in a while. It's been a long time since I've seen the Foo Fighters, but saw them twice, and they were terrific both times. Peter in Decatur says, I haven't been to too many concerts, but my most memorable was in 1969, when I was at the University of Illinois in Assembly Hall. It was the Rolling Stones, and the opening act was B.B. King. Oh, my God. In 1969, that's when you want to see the Stones. 69, early 70s? Ugh. Mike and Ravenswood said Frank Sinatra in 1974. 815 area code says John Cougar was backing up Hart at Poplar Creek, and he blew Hart away. Poor Hart. It was right after Jack and Diane was released. Oh, so that's 83. So that's before Hart's renaissance. That's why. Because Hart had that album in the mid-80s where they had all the hair and cleavage. You remember that? You ever seen those videos, Esmeralda, where Hart has some serious hair and cleavage?
Yeah, yeah.
That album was massive. It was just titled Hart. It was a self-titled album. But this is like 83, and Hart was not nearly as popular at that time. They were on the decline, whereas Cougar was on the rise. Now, I saw Cheap Trick at Brewers Park in 1977. Jay in Ohio said, I saw the jazz singer Joe Williams at a small lounge in Las Vegas in 86. He was amazing. 262 area code says, Oingo Boingo. Seen them 8 times, and every time they're awesome. Wow. That's an Oingo Boingo fan right there, seeing Oingo Boingo 8 times. Um, 815 area code says, my teens were an interesting and sometimes embarrassing time. I saw Guns N' Roses, Debbie Gibson, Skid Row, Billy Joel, Nelson, Janet Jackson, Spice Girls, Poison, Extreme, and ZZ Top. That's a busy person right there, going to a lot of different shows. All right, we got a break here for weather and traffic, and then we'll wrap up this discussion. If you want to jump in, what are the best live bands or live musicians? 312-981-7200. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, 2 for Tuesday. Yeah! 218 area code, picking Pearl Jam, and that's Jeremy. We're talking about some of the best live acts and bands around, and as I mentioned before, Pearl Jam certainly belongs on that list. They are great live, and that's what we want to talk about here. 312-981-7200 for talk and text. Some of the other ones that made this list on Ranker, Queen is listed as number one. And that's the one, you know, I was lucky enough to see a lot of classic rock bands in the 70s because I started going to concerts at a very young age. I was like 10 when I started going to concerts and saw a ton of classic rock 70s big, cool bands. You know, like I mentioned, I saw Zeppelin twice and I saw them, but I never saw Queen. And that's like to my massive regret that I never got to see Queen. And the worst part is that they toured. And I could have gone, but I didn't go. I can't remember the year. I want to say it was 77 or 78, where Queen toured with Thin Lizzy. What? How did I not? How is it possible? That's like Thin Lizzy opening for Queen. It's ridiculous. So, the Who is on the list here. As Esmeralda mentioned, she saw them, thought they were great. Pink Floyd's on the list. I saw Floyd a few times. The classic lineup of Pink Floyd, though. Well, not the classic lineup, but because Syd Barrett wasn't with him when I saw him. But I saw him in 1977 at Soldier Field for the Animals Tour with the giant pig floating over Soldier Field. Amazing. AC/DC is on the list pretty high of great bands. Those guys are tremendous live. It's just nonstop. Just pedal to the metal for 2 hours. So U2 is on the list. U2 is fantastic live. We have to ask Colin Suter how many times he's seen U2. Because it's many, many, many times. He's one of those hardcore fans who travels around to see U2 in different places. And they're worth it, too. I've seen them a bunch of times, and they're incredible. U2 is an incredible live band. Esmeralda, have you ever seen U2?
I have not.
You know who else is awesome live? My future ex-wife, Madonna. You ever seen Madonna?
Nope.
Oh, she's so good. So crazy. Yeah. All right, look, we got people calling in again. Here's John on WGN. Hi, John.
Hey.
Hey.
How are you? I thought Tegan and Sarah so early in their careers, 15 years ago, and they're in, I mean, like, I want to tell you how I felt. I want to tell you how I felt. It's like, I felt like I was in, I was watching the Beatles in the Hamburg basement in 1961. Yeah. I felt like I was watching Bruce Springsteen in the Stone Pony in whatever, 1969 or something. Mm-hmm. They are incredible performers, and they're so talented, and I am definitely not your typical Tegan and Sarah man. But there's something about them. I don't know if comedy lost them to music or if music lost them to comedy.
But right.
They're incredible, incredible musicians.
Right.
Seen them 14 times now.
Wow, 14 times. Wow.
14 times. And I saw them most recently at the University of Chicago campus. They just played a few months ago. But I saw them when they were so young. And they're such nice people. And I actually met and talked. I was able to talk to them and stuff. And it was just, you know, I knew. It's like I'm standing there watching Tegan and Sarah. They're like 22 years old at this time.
Right.
The first time I met them.
Right.
And it's like they're. I'm watching the Beatles in the Hamburg basement.
Right. Yeah, I get it. It made a huge impression on you. Yeah, Tegan and Sarah. Yeah, that sounds cool, man. Like, sounds like you really got them and you like them, and that's awesome. Thanks, John, for the call. Let's see. Here's Patrick on WGN. Hey, Patrick.
Hey, Nick. How you been?
All right.
Hey. All right. Real quick, because you guys are going to run out of time, but I got to see James Brown for free.
Hmm.
And it was, I used to work in the bar industry. I was a bouncer at one bar, and I was a bar back at another. And the bartender's ball was happening that year. So the headliner was at the Aragon, and the headliner was James Brown.
Wow.
And yeah, you were talking about an amazing show. I mean, yeah. Not just because it was free, and we were all blitzed out of our minds because the drinks were free, too.
Right. Right.
Think about it. It was the drinks were free, and of course the Camel reps were walking around, so everybody's walking around with free booze and cartons of cigarettes.
Oh, there you go. There it is, right there.
There was James Brown, man. Got to see him up close, got to get up close to the stage and just see him do his thing. So.
Yeah, that's cool, man. That's a special memory.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
All right, but hey, take care. Patrick, take care, buddy.
All right, you too.
All right, see you. 312-981-7200 is the phone number here. And here is Jim on WGN. Hey, Jim.
Yeah, hey, you guys are just talking about the Who, and in 68, out here in St. Charles, they appeared at a little club called the Jaguar Club, which was a former auto dealer, and it was right downtown, probably 400 people, and that was when they were smashing their equipment, badly.
Yeah, yeah.
And the county sheriff surrounded the stage when they did My Generation, of course, the opener was probably one of the best bands I ever saw in my whole life. Perhaps you might recall Baby Huey and the Babysitters.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
They rocked, okay?
Yeah.
I mean, they rocked, and they rocked. It's probably the only band better than that. I lived in Boulder, Colorado for years, and I got to see Gil Scott-Heron live in a small venue also, and you had not lived until you've been rocked by both Baby Huey and Gil Scott-Heron.
Yeah,
so,
that's great.
Good show, man.
Thank you, Jim. Take care, buddy.
Yep.
All right, there you go. All right, we're going to take a break. We got the news coming up, and then it's time for the aggravating SNL quiz, and I will quiz Dan and Esmeralda about their knowledge of Saturday Night Live. That's always fun for us. And we got the news coming up in just a couple minutes. Welcome back, everybody. Next to her. It's Two for Tuesday. Yeah, man, Two for Tuesday. And Judy picked, that's Kid Rock?
Yeah, with Sheryl Crow.
Wow. Kid Rock featuring Sheryl Crow called Picture. I've never heard that before. I usually, Kid Rock is always like, boing, biddy, doing, dang, dang, biggy, diggy, dig. That's what I think when I hear Kid Rock. Okay. Well, wait a minute. Didn't he do like a straight up country record or something like that?
Oh, I'm sure he's, if he hasn't, he's done plenty of straight up country songs. Yeah.
Okay. Kid Rock featuring Sheryl Crow. Is he still running for, running for office, and is he? And he's running. He's running for office, isn't he? Like Senate or something? Yeah. All right. We've been talking about great live bands, and I've got some texts here. We can read some of these, and then we're going to get into the aggravating SNL quiz and see what knowledge Esmeralda and Dan have of the best show ever, Saturday Night Live. But here are some more texts. 219 area code says, Little River Band open for Seals and Crofts. Wow, that's a mellow night. That's a mellow night. And then James Taylor is always great, as is Chicago. I saw James Taylor and Carole King at the United Center. And we were in the Hawks box. It was pretty cool, man. It was pretty cool. I was with the brass, Jay Blunk and his family, and us in the box watching Carole King and James Taylor. Rick said, I saw Springsteen at Welsh Ryan Arena. Okay. 262 area code says, Earth, Wind, and Fire, Spyro Gyra, and the Commodores in 1981. Simply awesomeness. That would have been great. So, should we guess at how many members of Earth, Wind, and Fire were on that tour? Commodores have a lot of guys in their band, too. That's a lot. That's a big, you know, I would, hey, Esmeralda, I think these three acts might have had more, they might have had more people on stage than in the theater.
It was like a circus.
Wow. 815 area code, Nick, my first concert was Tull at the Chicago Amphitheater. I saw every time I saw Tull back in the day in the 70s, it was the stadium. I never saw him at the amphitheater. 708 area code said, just saw the Eagles at the United Center. We had nosebleed seats, but we got upgraded by promotional company and got first row. Vince Gill fit in. Vince Gill's in the band now? Vince Gill fit in well, and they let Joe Walsh rock out to some James Gang hits. After all these years, they still delivered for over 2.5 hours. Yeah, I agree with I agree with the dude from the Big Lebowski about the Eagles. Not a fan. 630 area code said, back in the day, Journey and Steve Perry was awesome. Yeah, Journey, you know, Journey doesn't have Steve Perry anymore. It's not the same. You know, Neil Sean rules, and I mean the musicians in that band, they used to play with Santana. That's why they're I mean, these musicians are amazing. 219 area code says Zach Brown will be at Alpine Valley this year, and it's going to be in June. Okay. Jill says, I was dragged to see Reba, and it was the best show I ever saw. Well, this Reba McEntire's getting rave reviews this morning from people who didn't want to go. So, all right. Well, thanks for all the participations.